surprise cookie delivery on our porch, but it was missing a cookie. Welcome back to the show. That's Bradley. That's Mike. I'm Dawn. Guys, somebody sent us, as a surprise for helping them out, cookies.
That's very sweet. What were you doing that you ended up getting cookies in return?
Well, we helped her out. She had a car situation whenever we were all meeting, and she's like, can you drive me to my house? And we're like, sure, we can. So it was just, you know, something you do for a friend, no big deal, right? Yeah. Well, she was just like, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're like, it's no big deal. But then on Friday, she's like, sent a text. And I had just gotten home. It was like 5:30 or something. And it said, did you get a cookie delivery? And I went to MC and I go, hey, did we get a cookie delivery? So he runs to the front door, opens it up. And sure enough, there is a crumble cookie pink.
Oh, my God. How exciting. Thing. I get so excited when I see that box.
Yeah. Well, I did, too, until we realized it had been ripped open.
Uh-oh.
So.
Oh, my God. Somebody stole your cookie?
Well, I don't think it was somebody. It was something. Because it was so haphazardly broken open. And then we opened it, and there's supposed to be four in there, but there's three, and it looked like an animal took it.
A critter got your cookie?
But we're thinking, like, what animal? Like, there aren't any loose dogs in the neighborhood, right?
Well, it's one of two things, because it ain't no rabbit.
I don't think it's a rabbit. They're too docile, and they don't eat crumble cookies.
Do you have raccoons, or as we like to call them, raccoons?
Raccoons are nocturnal, so it wasn't
them. Oh, because it's during the day. All right.
So the only other thing we could think of is that a squirrel got into
I could see that
cookie, which I am still laughing at the thought of. It had pink icing on it, we know, because there was a bunch of pink icing on the porch. It was, we looked online because every day they update their cookies and say, these are the cookies of the day. It was a strawberry shortcake cookie.
Oh my God, the squirrel took the, like, princessiest cookie ever.
I think there's going to be a squirrel in Woodbury that has diabetes because it took, like, I just want to see that squirrel. And we hadn't, we were messing with the Ring camera.
I was
going to
say, you don't have Ring camera footage?
We do. We have. It just wouldn't have seen it there.
Oh, okay.
Because it was down underneath, like in a place that.
Well,
just
time to move the Ring because wildlife is far more fascinating.
I just want to see that squirrel carrying that cookie away. That's hilarious to me.
Squirrels are no joke. Like, it took me so long to figure out, and I didn't realize any of this until I had a dog, that squirrels bring food everywhere. So there will be chicken bones. I was like, literally came on the air one day and I was like, will people stop throwing chicken bones in my neighborhood? And then I realized it's not people eating like a chicken wing walking down the street.
I thought that's what it was too.
No, it's squirrels, and they dig in people's trash.
Oh.
And then they carry their bones to another location.
Where you should. Bury bones.
Always bring your bones to a second location.
Right.
And then my dog is like walking, like all of a sudden I'm like, what you doing? We get that out of your mouth.
Then you have to dig an old gross chicken bone out of its mouth. Wow. Well,
so I imagine that squirrel won the lottery.
And then,
I'm surprised it didn't tell all its squirrel friends to show up for seconds.
I think, like, what if a hawk was up in its nest? And it was looking down, and it's like so easy to catch squirrels, right? Nests are all over. And it's looking down, it's like, hey, there's a squirrel down there and has a crumble cookie in its mouth. Bonus!
Get it. Dinner so and dessert.
Now, this might shock you. I have something else to tell you about these cookies, okay? What would you do? Because on my Instagram, you can see the picture of the cookies. One of them, like two ends of the box were ripped open. So it took the big cookie, but it also tasted one of the other cookies. You can tell that there's a little bit. It's kind of messed up.
I know
a
where this
bit.
Is going.
So did we scrape the icing off that cookie and eat it? Yes, we did.
Oh,
is that terrible? Do you think I'm going to get squirrel rabies?
They don't have rabies. Squirrels don't get rabies from what I remember. And I know this because I had to get rabies shots because I got bit by somebody's beautiful cat. And they weren't wearing a tag.
Don't get me started. What about a squirrel? Did a squirrel bite you?
I got bitten by this cat, and then I had to go in and do the whole rabies thing. and $3,000 later with insurance.
Oh,
don't
wow.
ever.
What?
No, it was insane, you guys. And people told me, because this happened, I mean, it didn't happen on the air, but I talked about it, and people were like, sorry to tell you, that's going to cost a lot of money. And I was like, I've got insurance, it's fine. They're like, no, it's not fine. Sure enough, it was real expensive. But in the process, I learned that squirrels are not usually the ones to transmit rabies. It's usually, you know, like cats and bats and other things.
What about raccoons?
I don't know about, I don't remember about raccoons. But anyway, so I don't think you should worry about squirrel rabies.
Okay.
But that's nasty.
Did you, would you eat it though?
No! Ew!
Mike?
You went an extra step. I wouldn't have even scraped the, the frosting off.
I'd have just said, that's all good.
Thank you.
Whatever.
For being on my side there.
I'm not. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah.
No, it's not about sides, girl. It's about, I don't want some sort of intestinal.
I know. I felt bad. I'm like, this is how desperate I am. This is ridiculous. Like, I
maybe
felt
would
like
have just put it in the microwave for 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Kill any surface bacteria.
This also just brings up a whole new opportunity. If you steal something from somebody but make it look like a squirrel did it, they're just going to laugh it off.
Yeah.
Like, this could have been your neighbor kid. Like,
yeah. Hey, just get some squirrel hands. Get those little plastic squirrel hands and just, like, run up to neighbors' porches and take their crumble cookies.
Nibble on a little one and put it back. And
but
be like,
the problem,
it looks like a squirrel.
You will be foiled when somebody's Ring camera actually works and they're like, well, who's that creep with the squirrel hands nibbling on our cookies?
Oh, God, that creep. And then I'm in the paper. If anybody reads that anymore.
Nobody reads that. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, Bradley.
You'd end up on the Instagram.
Yeah, I would. That's where it would be. Or next door.
Yeah, oh, you that know, for sure. I saw some lady bending over eating my crumble cookies with little plastic squirrel hands.
Yeah, here's a video. That's Don McLean. All right. Well, a scientist says that he has proof that we are living in a simulation. And if Bradley believes it, maybe we should believe it, too. That's coming up next.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A scientist says he's got proof we are living in a simulation. What? Is any of this real?
Ooh.
The second hour of The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Are you just living in a video game or some kind of weird computer program that somebody invented a few years ago and none of us are completely aware of it? It's mildly creepy and disturbing to contemplate, right, Dawn?
Oh, it is, but it's also exciting.
I think so, and I knew you would be all about this story, or at least you'd want to talk about this story, because I think some people would just be like, that's dumb, I don't want to think about it, move on.
True.
Can we talk about Britney Spears again?
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. We should, by the way, go back to Britney Spears at some point, but right now, I want to tell you, I read this story in Popular Mechanics, and the headline, a scientist says he has proof we're living in a simulation. I was like, okay, I'll bite. What does that actually mean? So a guy by the name of Melvin, do you know him?
Oh, boy.
Melvin Vopson. He is a scientist at the University of Portsmouth. And he now get this. This is his job. He studies for a living the possibility that the universe might indeed be a digital facsimile, meaning we're just living in a copy. Apparently, he published an article in a website called The Conversation, and this was last year. And long story short, I got lost in the science, but he has this law, and it's called the
Melvin's Law.
Is that what we're going to call it?
I don't know.
Anyway, here, let me just read a little bit of what he said. Essentially, he's arguing that there is this law of entropy, and like things degrade over time. blah, blah, long story short, there should be a way, like in computer programs, that doesn't happen. And so therefore, there should be a way to measure if we are just living in a simulation, that thing not happening.
Oh.
So like there should ultimately just think there should be a way to measure whether or not we are living in a simulation based on science.
Mm.
And because of that, look, it doesn't mean he has an answer, but he says essentially there is the possibility. And now we just need to do a bunch of science to prove whether or not we are.
Okay. Now, is he secretly plotting to create programs to make us live in a simulation?
If we don't already.
It feels like the plot of like some type of a sci-fi series on Netflix.
Well, yeah. And I mean, honestly, the series is The Matrix. Because
right.
That's where
that's true.
That's ultimately, I think, the first sort of pop culture way we thought about this as a possibility, right? That
yes.
We're all just living in a simulation. I've always thought, like, doesn't it just stand to reason that at some point, if we are able to create a very realistic simulation, we won't know whether we're in one. So if you think humanity will reach that level of technology, that means we probably already have.
Oh, that's his point. Like,
well, that's
we won't...
I don't know if that's what he's saying, but that's what I've always thought.
But then there's that problem with, do we know how to control and erase the brain just in sections? Like, hey, we're going to make you forget about this part where you agreed to get into a simulation and just float in a tank.
Yeah, but what if you just never, what if we're not even that? What
they
if
took
we're
us
just,
in the night?
No, I'm saying, what if we're just digital?
Oh, well then, why
not that
heartburn?
We're living in a simulation, but we are the simulation girl.
Okay, well... I want to be able to control my program a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Now I have a whole bunch of other questions. Like,
okay,
if
well,
you
I'm
knew
a scientist.
You were a sim. Okay, you're a scientist. Okay. I'm not going to ask you science-y questions.
Good.
I'm going to ask you, if you could control your own simulation, would you change anything?
If I could control, yeah.
You would?
First of all, I'd be on a cruise ship.
Oh.
Duh. What would you be doing?
I'm going to. Make time travel possible.
Okay, let's do it. I'd be all about it.
And also that I could instantly like see my family, like just kind of like Star Trek. You just beam me up.
I cannot wait until we get holograms, like the holodeck, on Next Generation. Mike,
absolutely.
Were you a Star Trek fan?
I was not until I moved in with some roommates who were, and I got caught up on a couple of seasons.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you understand the holodeck.
I do, definitely, yep.
Basically, we can just, like, run a computer program, enter that world. Oh, my God, that would be so fun. Dawn, where would the first holodeck take you? Like,
okay.
What time and place?
Let me just take away going to see my daughter, okay? Because that's the good,
well, yeah.
Sweet
you can
answer.
Do all that stuff on your own time.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't care.
That's right.
You can do all that family stuff.
Okay, I want to first download Japanese completely fluent and then go to Tokyo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even have to, like, I don't even think you'd have to learn. I think you could probably just, like, couldn't you run the program with, like, some sort of translation technology so that anything that came out of your mouth would instantly be translated?
That's true. Yeah. Is that too pedestrian? Like, maybe I should want to go to Mars
I would want to go back in time.
Oh, sure.
To your point, like, I would want to go back and see what time was really like. Because they're always like, you'd never want to go back. It's going to smell. I'm like, it smells here.
Yeah, we want to go back to see how bad it smells. That's part of the experience.
Yeah.
And like, it would just be to pop in. I don't know if I want to participate.
Well, and then.
Do you want to be a milkmaid in the Middle Ages?
If it is just a simulation, right? Like if it is just a holodeck, then it doesn't really, you don't have that whole problem of actual travel through time and space where like you would Back to the Future style, try to date your mom.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Like, that's my mom. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't have to deal with the problem of, like, changing the past and then you render yourself invisible.
Right.
Right? Like, if it's a holodeck.
That's me. Yeah.
You can just be like, I want to know what it was like back in 19-something.
I want to be able to go to the same place with another person, too.
Like where?
What
do you mean
just
the same place with
time.
Another person?
Like, if I want to travel back in time to, like, feudal Japan, I want to have you there.
Did you say that because you've been watching that samurai show?
What? Oh, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't watched Samurai yet?
Shogun.
Oh, Shogun. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. That's on FX. It is definitely on my list, which I might be able to open up a space soon since I just finished a three-body problem.
Oh, God,
on Netflix.
I can't wait to talk about that. Speaking of time travel, although it's not really time travel, but it's, you know, simulations and things. Okay, so here's the thing. If you've wondered whether or not this simulation is realistic, you can read the article on your own and try to figure out the science. I kind of vaguely, you know how you read stuff and you're like, I think I'm getting it.
And then it loses you.
No, so maybe I'll just sit over here and think, well, some guy says maybe. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's on our show links page if you want to read the Popular Mechanics article.
I used to get Popular Mechanics when I would go on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
That would be one of the magazines I'd pick up in the gift shop.
My dad used to get that, like a subscription to Popular.
And Popular Science.
Yeah.
And Discover Magazine. I used to love Discover Magazine.
I want to kind of see a magazine that's Unpopular Mechanics.
That would be, well, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of Unpopular Mechanics out there. When they call and they go, that's going to be $4,500.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well,
it's just like they have pullout, like, centerfolds of Unpopular Mechanics. This is Jed.
Yeah, this is...
He'll overcharge you for a timing belt you don't need.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is what a transmission checkup costs.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. Well, if we are in a simulation, I just want to say that I want everybody
we
to forget the last 10 minutes. Go back.
It's clear we're not running the program. Let me just put it that way. If this is a simulation.
And can we get some better equipment?
I'm actually back in time right now, living in the 1940s in this studio.
Yeah, you sure are. Yeah.
Okay, I think I hear music playing, which means...
You do.
We are headed to break, but when we come back, everybody is fighting over non-disclosure agreements. Specifically, Brangelina and Aubrey O'Day. We're going to talk about why NDAs keep coming up and, frankly, why people would ever want to sign them. When we come back right here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
It still hurts even after.
Okay, so NDAs are everywhere. I feel like we've talked about the pernicious nature of non-disclosure agreements with Me Too, but people are still using them, and they're using them to battle each other out in court. Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. I want to get right into Brangelina, but they're not the only ones. And Dawn's going to tell us who else is dealing with non-disclosure agreements and why it's a lot. So, Brangelina, Brad, Angelina, still fighting after all these years. What year was it? Like 2016, people? Where were we? 20-something?
Yeah, probably.
It's a long
around
time.
That time. It must have been that summer.
They've been fighting for years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that war continues. This time it's about NDAs. And when I thought, what the heck does this have to do with non-disclosure agreements? I had to go reading because, thanks, guys, I have nothing better to do with my life than ponder living in a simulation. So I went and read this page.
I'd rather be in a simulation with
the
story.
You. Like, if we are in a simulation, seriously, this is the best you guys could do.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie basically is saying she shouldn't have to hand over past NDAs. Why is Brad Pitt asking for past NDAs? Because remember, there was this whole thing where she claimed he wanted her to sign an NDA when they were agreeing to settle their business issues.
Yeah.
So they get divorced. they also have this big winery to settle. In order to sell it, he's like, I will give you permission. I will give you my half and everything, but you're going to have to sign. She alleges, by the way, that he said, you're going to have to sign this NDA. The assumption is because she alleges he abused her, mm-hmm. and that the NDA would prevent her from talking about that abuse. So it's like a way to use an NDA to not have people find out that he was or that she accused him of domestic abuse mm-hmm. and physical assault, right?
Yeah.
So in the back and forth, catch up to today, his people were, his attorneys were essentially saying, we want to know all the other NDAs that she has entered into.
Oh.
So kind of as a way, she is implying to kind of say, like, okay, fine, you want to talk about using NDAs and how you didn't want to do that? Let's talk about all these other NDAs you did sign. Does that make sense?
Yes. So does it have anything to do with, like, just other business ventures that she has?
Well, and it's personal. So the way that I read it, and let me see if I can find the quote, but it was like the request seek contracts between Angelina Jolie and any other person or entity, including employment-related contracts, essentially people close to her. So basically, like, oh, you don't like NDAs?
Sure you do.
Show us
with this production company.
And that would also embarrass her, like, if there were people she had NDAs with, like, personally. You know, that would be a way. I think the implication, at least, again, thanks for making me read this big, long article, page six.
Yeah.
Or Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, because you two can't figure it out. And you're fighting in the press. That's the assumption, is that, like, he just wanted to, his attorneys just wanted to embarrass her in a court.
That,
which distracts us from asking questions about his abuse anyway. I'm done.
Yeah, it is. Like, because what we have now in our minds, since it was leaked, I mean, I don't even remember now, but it's been about a month since we knew that she alleged that he physically abused her. Because we had never heard that before.
Yeah.
And so that is where the tables have really shifted here. Not that what he did on that airplane is like, oh, no big deal. It's a very, very big deal. And, you know, we all know that story.
Well, it says it's more of a problem than, oh, he got drunk one day and did a bad thing.
Right.
Which in and of itself is bad enough, or should be. Didn't seem to be, though, because most of the public kind of went, okay.
Yeah.
He's fine now.
Exactly. So it was like, do you remember how we heard about that? It was through her. It was the court case.
Yeah. So it's basically this court battle back and forth because they have yet to finalize this business separation of business interests or selling of the winery or how the winery was sold, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. In the back and forth to that, she released those or filed those allegations as a part of the paperwork. And I think mm-hmm. for two reasons. One, because it's connected to the sale of the winery, as I just explained, Bradley tried to get her to sign an NDA so she wouldn't reveal that abuse.
Like, okay, well, I'll let you do whatever you want with this half of the winery.
Exactly.
But just go ahead and not talk about all that gross stuff I did, please.
Exactly. Like, you can have what you want, but you're going to have to sign an NDA, wink, wink. That means you're not going to say anything about anything. Also, wink, wink. I mean, it's not like it said sign here and don't talk about my abuse. I think the assumption is it was a broad enough NDA that she would have... And she obviously was like, screw that. I ain't signing anything that tells me I can't talk about it. And also, by the way, I'm going to tell everybody about it without actually doing it.
Yeah.
And by filing, court documents that everyone will then have access to and know. But I won't actually have to tell you that that's what happened.
Yeah, I'll do it through the court.
Yeah.
Because everybody has.
I mean, they're not messing around. She's not messing around.
Yeah. And, you know, outside of the fact that if he did this thing that is so terrible and these things. You know, you've got that, it's kind of a dirty dealing, but it's dirty on both sides. Like, you can't, and what he's doing back, and his lawyers rather, by bringing up all these other NDAs, it doesn't erase the fact that she alleges that you physically abused her. Like,
yeah.
We're not going to forget about that, but, you know, producers probably will in the court of public opinion.
Have.
Yeah. It's like he continues
He seems to be working.
Yeah. He continues to have a company that produces things and, you know, like it's Three Body Problem on Netflix. I noticed he was on the list for that.
Huh?
But yeah, I just think that anytime you have an NDA that involves, like, I'm going to silence you for criminal activity, it just doesn't seem like
you should not be okay. You should not be allowed to silence somebody from talking about illegal activity.
Exactly.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right.
You should not be able to do that. Why you're able to do that, I'm sure there is a reason, because the allegations may have been unproven in a court of law. But if you have information involving a crime, you should not be able to.
No.
People will say, well, you're getting paid for that silence. Okay, but that's not, as we've learned in the whole Me Too era, that money isn't, that's not as genuine or generous as perhaps you'd think,
right?
Or as valuable as you would think. Think about all of the things women have signed NDA disclosure agreements for. Like, that kind of abuse doesn't get absolved by money.
Exactly. It doesn't, especially if the public hears about it. So, okay. Well, moving on to something that is criminal. We see Sean Diddy Combs, in the news a lot since last fall, I believe, whenever Cassie, his ex-girlfriend, brought up allegations against him, and that was settled very quickly. But then other people came out with more and more abuse, and we've seen his homes being raided, and it was just so much larger than we saw back then. Well, Aubrey O'Day, who is from the group Danity Kane, which if you are, you know, you might remember that group. He was he managed them. It's a girl group that he put together back in the day. Bad Boy, the label, his label managed them, and you know, they weren't all that popular, but he did have a lot of artists under that label in the 2000s. Well, she has something to say about NDAs as well, and actually TMZ did last night, they did The Downfall of Diddy, which I'm not really into watching, like, TMZ documentary style things. It's on Tubi right now. You can watch it. But I have a snippet of it, and I apologize for the super dramatic music because, you know, that is the way this goes.
It?
I did not produce it, but
apologize.
You know, it's just it's so cheesy. Why do they do this? Anyway,
because it's TMZ.
It sucks. But anyway, she is talking about how basically what happened last fall with him giving back music rights to artists under his label.
All right.
I read that you are going to actually give back the publishing rights to a bunch of artists on your label, which is incredible.
When TMZ ran the headline, and I have a screenshot of it because I do want to call you out, I received the publishing deal. I know what it says. I know how much money it was giving me. I'll tell you, $300.30 for a full release of all claims against Diddy and many other players. When I went to look at the publishing deal, it said anything but I'm being made whole financially again. In fact, it asked me to not be able to have access to my story and my experience anymore. It asked me specifically to stay silent and never speak poorly about a human. So then I realized something really bad is coming.
So the something really bad that was coming.
$300.
Yeah, so all of that, they knew that this was going to go down. They knew about the allegations. That's what TMZ is alleging, and so is Aubrey Day, if you read between the lines there, that they did all that right before all that information was going to drop.
Yeah.
And then in the process, it's like, hey, look at how what a good guy I am. I'm giving the, I don't have to do this. That's what the statement that his label put out said. He didn't have to do this. So in the process, it's like, you can have your publishing rights. And by the way, can you sign this piece of paper?
Yeah, we'll give you everything for $300, but you can't say anything.
And you can't ever say anything bad because so many people had never signed an NDA about Diddy. So they were shutting down and silencing. That was the point of it. All of these people that could have something to say about these cases.
The good news is, I mean, we've seen this before post Me Too, that like at a certain point, women have been able to, and it's mostly women, have been able to come forward and speak regardless of these NDAs, because when it's a person like Diddy who has so many people coming forward, mm-hmm. what is he going to sue everyone? Like, yeah. an NDA works if mostly because of fear, mm-hmm. the fear of being sued and financially ruined.
Right.
But if so many women come forward, you can't possibly sue all them women, especially also if you know that the allegations might be true. Right. Like, you're going to be busy trying to spend all your money on that. I guess what I'm saying is that at the end of the day, some of those women will be able to tell their stories despite the fact that this NDA was signed. And that certainly happened with women who signed NDAs with Harvey Weinstein and yeah. Lauer and
definitely
others.
Yeah. And think about not just the women in the group, but also everybody that surrounded them, even all the men that
yeah.
were involved in.
Yeah.
You know, being at parties and just, you know, men, women, people that were running that group. So it's a lot of people. He's trying to cover his tracks. And so I'm really glad that they're exposing this. I don't know where they are in this case. And I bet if I watched that Tubi TMZ show,
you wouldn't know.
Let us know. Oh, no. We wouldn't know.
No.
Okay, probably not.
I don't think you're going to get much. But
yeah.
I think we'll know when the FBI moves in. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, have you been to like a comedy show recently, Dawn?
I did go to a comedy show.
What
just on
did you
Friday?
On Friday, did you happen to pay attention to the audience at all?
I didn't want to. I wanted to pay attention to the comedian.
Well, when we come back, Dawn thinks people in that audience apparently have forgotten how to be a live audience, and she's going to tell us about it when we come back right here on My Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Every time the phone rings,
went to see a comedian this weekend, and the audience was you're just weird, you guys. I think people have forgotten how to be an audience. Welcome back to the show. It's The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. All right, guys. I went to the Mall of America to see a comedian I really like on Friday. His name is Pete Corielli. He does a show with Sebastian Maniscalco, a podcast that I've been listening to for years. And he's a comedian from New Jersey. He's kind of a little rough around the edges. I absolutely love him.
Okay.
So we're like, oh my God, Pete's coming to the Mall of America at Rick Bronson. So we go and we get there and we're seated right dead center. Like, we got there early because we're both early nerds, MC and I.
Yeah. What time is early at a comedy show these days? Like, what time does a comedy show air?
Okay. So he did two shows. He did an early show and then like an 18 plus show, which is, you know, the dirtier version.
That's what they do on a cruise ship.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you always have the family show and the adult show.
So the doors opened at 8:30, and he was on at 9:30.
Okay.
So we were there at 8:30.
Oh, my God. I have so many questions, but I don't want to get in the way of your story.
No, please write them down, so let's not forget what your questions are. I'm here to answer them for you. All right, so we're there early. We're dead center, right in front of the microphone. He is right there. All right, so we have some people to the left of us and some people to the right of us. And I was just a little curious why they thought it was an interactive show.
Oh, were they hecklers?
You know what? I don't mind hecklers. And I don't think comedians mind hecklers because they are conditioned to deal with hecklers. Like, they know, they already have in their mind what they're going to say back. And if they've been on the road for a long time, which Pete Corielli has been, I think they're used to that. It's the people that aren't heckling, but they're interacting.
Explain what that sounds like then. When you're interacting but not heckling, what was actually going on to the left and right of you?
All right. To the left of me, he was just doing some crowd work where there was a guy sitting next to me who looked like he was ready for a sporting event. He was a younger guy. I think 21. He had on a headband, like a sweatband, and some athletic clothes. And he also...
A headband?
Like a
sweatband. Like he was going to the gym?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's sitting there. Okay. And apparently from Pete, the comedian's perspective, looking down, which the guy is right in front of him. It's the front row. The guy never looked at him. He was looking off at something cooler or something. Okay. Never laughed
like not
at
on
one
his
joke.
Phone or anything. He was just literally looking in a different direction.
Just not looking at him and not laughing.
And so...
he pointed it out.
Pete was like, I need to call out this guy.
Yeah, he's like, guy, what are you doing? He's like, what are you doing over here, guy? Are you not into this or what's going on with you? You got a sweatband on. It looks like, did you just come from a game? And the guy's like, no. And then he said, well, did you just like come to the mall to get some cleats with your mom? And then you just ended Hey-oh. Up at a comedy show. I mean, it's funny. And the kid's like, the kid, I call him a kid because he's like, how old are you? And he's like, 21. He's like, well, what do you not like? Are you not having a good time? What's the deal? And his girlfriend says, he feels awkward looking right at you in the face.
That's hilarious.
Like she yells out and I'm like, what? What's going on? She's involved now? Okay. And he goes, what are you, his sister? His sister? And she's like, I'm his girlfriend. And he goes, what are you talking about? You feel awkward, look like you don't want to look at me? Just so you know, I'm on stage and I came here to like do a comedy show so you can look at me in the face. And she's like, he really feels awkward about it. It makes him uncomfortable. And then he's not really into the whole like everyone being uncomfortable. Like he just kind of goes in on that. Just
oh,
like,
sure. He likes people to be uncomfortable.
But like he's like, that's because all you do is stare at your phone. He's like, all of you people just look at your phone and you don't know how to look at people in the face anymore. This is ridiculous. So we had that girl, which by the way, she
And are
interjected.
You an MC just like staring at each other like, oh my God, I can't believe this
I'm
is
so
happening.
I'm so embarrassed. It's like I brought my cousins to a show that had lived in the woods forever. no, but then she interjected
Do you have
again.
Cousins that lived in
no,
the woods?
I'm just saying. It seemed
I wouldn't
like people.
Be surprised, Mike.
So then she interjects again because he's dealing with the microphones all tangled up. And she goes, just uncurl the microphone cord. Like she yells that out. And I'm like, what is going
Wait,
on?
Wait, what? Like what? She's giving stage directions?
Yeah, like she's his manager. It was weird. Then,
uncurl the cord.
Then we had another lady on the other side where Pete is just setting up the joke, which you can actually watch it. It's the joke, like they have jokes that they do around the country. It's the same, you know, it's like they switch it up. But part of them are jokes that require setup and asking audiences things. This is something people should know. So he's just going to talk about how he feels guilty when he leaves his dog in the kennel and he goes off to like some tropical vacation and comes back tan and the dog is like freaking out. So he asks, does anyone have a dog?
Okay, yeah. Bunch of hands go up, I bet.
Some people, not enough.
Oh.
And we're all like, oh God, please don't, please someone say.
Was it a dead room? I mean, like.
It was like a lot of people had cats. It was pulling teeth. He's like, seriously, no one has a dog. This lady goes, I have a dog. And he goes, oh, okay. So what do you do whenever, do you take it on vacation? And she goes, I used to. And he goes, what do you, he goes, oh God, I don't want to. And she goes, he died. Don't say that.
That's
Don't
kind of
it.
Awesome. I want to hear it. You should have just
oh,
had
God,
like play
me.
The sad trombone.
Oh. And he goes, wah, oh my wah. God. Okay. And then he's like, all right, well, I guess I won't tell that joke. And
were
then
people
she,
laughing though? I mean, that's
I
pretty
laughed
funny.
Hysterically. Yeah. I mean, we were laughing at him being flabbergasted over this
that's
stupid
kind of
lady.
Awesome.
And then she goes on. She keeps chatting. She goes, her name was Lily. And he goes, all right, enough about Lily. I don't want to talk about your dead dog. And then he goes on with another joke and she goes, I really loved Lily. What is happening? Wait,
had she been having a few cocktails?
I think she was just a normal woman that didn't understand. Well, you don't talk back.
Yeah.
Like you do one time, but keep it to yourself.
So I think what we need to do is to have Dawn show up. Well, you're already there early.
Yes, I am.
So you just need Can to I? Do the warm up and be like, okay, I'm going to give you guys a few pointers.
Yeah, this is
and
not
And like
an
he comes out and is
experience.
Like, who's this lady? And you're like, don't worry, I got your back. I'm educating the audience. You need to do like comedian, you know, 101.
I don't know. Audience 101. And then there's this other lady who never stopped laughing, which you think would be a good thing.
Mm. Not if it's an awkward
hour.
Laugh.
It's awkward and it's the whole hour nonstop.
Was it an intention? You know, like, was it a, I don't want to say a fake laugh, but you know, like a I need attention laugh?
I think so. Okay. Which is another thing. Like, it's like, I think she might have maybe wanted to get in his pants.
Oh.
But he made it clear, like, there's
he
always
didn't want
some
to get
groupie.
In his buddy's pants.
He's married, and he makes it up all a part of his act, and he said, I've got a flight that leaves at 5 a.m. Like, I don't know what her deal was, but the three, between these three weirdos, I was like, why? Why kill me? I can't go out anymore. I can't.
Oh, is this God. Common? Like, when you
it's
go to comedy
changed.
Shows, how so? I would
I
imagine.
Feel like since the pandemic,
yeah.
It's changed.
Yeah, because people forgot how to go out.
And they forgot how to just, like, be normal. Like, you're not at home on your couch talking to your screen.
Well, part of that, I wonder, is part of that generational, like, were these people younger? Well, the one guy was 21.
The lady that was laughing constantly, she was not, no, she has no excuse. And the dog lady had no excuse. They had no excuse.
You have no excuse, ma'am.
But the lady that was talking back and saying, he doesn't want to look at you in the face, they were younger. Yeah. And he didn't want to, he felt uncomfortable looking at someone in the face. But anyway,
that's I mean, frankly, that it sounded like he could have fun with, right? But
yeah,
the
he
like
did.
Interrupting, no.
It would have been
constant
fine.
Like jarring laughter.
Yeah, she was like chuckling and leaning forward. She was
like,
also
what kind of laugh?
Like she was like like that, and then, and you just,
Mike,
I just wanted
cut
to
that.
Kill
I got
him.
It, thank you.
I just wanted to kill her, but
oh,
I
God.
Shouldn't want to kill the audience, not kill, not really kill.
I mean,
really
that's
kill.
Intense, girl.
Not really kill, but I just wanted to go, like when you're in church and you have to take your kid out, okay? Like, you have to take him out, and you have to go, you can't do that in church. Like,
yeah,
you got to
no.
take him out it's, when they're misbehaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ma'am. Or just slip them a little piece of paper.
Yeah, I think he would have seen that since I'm dead center. But, you know, the whole thing with the younger guy who, that bit was fun because he really did go off on him a little bit, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
I didn't know if the guy enjoyed
say,
it.
But... I will say I would never sit in the front row of a comedy show.
Well, we did because we want to be.
No, but no,
to.
No,
yeah.
you, I'm, but yeah. I'm saying like,
you would
I would never
yeah.
because I don't want to be a part of the fun. But you should know that, like, that's just a thing. Like, if you don't want to get called out,
yeah,
don't be like right in the front row.
Yeah, he asked like MC some questions, like he had had a hip replacement and talked about that. MC said, you know, he's like, oh, you've had a hip replacement, you know, stuff like that. But it's not like my dog is dead and I don't want to look
oh,
at
God.
You.
Oh God.
Oh, weird.
Although
sorry,
I
Pete.
I would have started laughing. When we come back, Ava Longoria says she's escaping Hollywood. For Spain. Can we go with her? I want to go to Spain, Dawn. Where are we going to go? We'll find out when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.